Hello, listeners. I'm Allie, and this is Quad Pro Quo. As always, I'm joined by my three co-hosts, Tammy.
Hello.
Matt.
Hello there.
And Guido.
Hello.
We are a film podcast inspired by the quid pro quo scene in Silence of the Lambs. Each month we pick a theme, and each week one of us picks a movie that falls within that theme. And we are starting the month of April, which is Guido's pick because it is his birthday.
Yes!
Guido, would you like to tell us the month and the corresponding rules?
Oh, yeah. So...
Tammy hates us so much.
Oh my gosh.
So
I didn't even say anything yet.
Because I can feel you. So I can feel you seething. So the theme of this month is 90s sci-fi.
Yes.
No softballs.
No softballs.
No softballs.
Okay? Give me the B movies, the C movies. Give me movies that are great but didn't do well financially.
My movie technically did do well financially, but not critically.
Well, that counts.
Really
that.
Panned.
Well, I mean, you know, according to Steve, that movie is great.
Well,
and,
it is.
And it's a financial success, so it technically, by the rules of...
It is great, and it is a financial success, but critically panned.
You liked it?
No, I'm talking about what Steve said.
Oh, okay.
We were talking about it the other night.
All right, okay.
All right, well, Guido, do you want to open your present that's sitting on this table?
You got me a present?
Yeah, it's your birthday.
I love stuff.
I thought that was a fucking bridal shower gift that you forgot.
No, you...
It's very pink.
I'm reusing the bag you put my gift in. You know, I pride myself on my gift-giving abilities.
This is a used bag.
And I think... I think that this is quite possibly one of the best gifts I've ever given somebody.
I'm like those dads on Christmas where I'm just like, I don't know what the fuck you got them.
So, you don't know either?
No.
Please be a severed head. Please be a severed head.
It's a box!
Is it a shrunken head?
Move the box.
Oh my goodness.
I mean, you can see what it is right on the front. Turn it around.
Oh, cool! Midsummer Incense Temple!
That's so cool.
Is it the little yellow hut?
It's the little yellow hut.
Yes! Oh, I'm going to stink your house up and look so cool at the same time. Look at it. Yep. Look at it.
Very nice.
And then there's little like incense things in that little thing.
This is so cool.
And then I think the base is in there too.
Do you promise not to like sew me into a bear?
No, not after this month.
Oh, you stone cold bitch.
Did it come with a bear?
It doesn't come with a bear. I was going to... There's also a tree ornament. It was like the angel on the top of the tree, and it was like Florence Pugh, like in the May outfit.
This is so neat.
I thought it was a tree topper.
Yeah, it's like a tree topper. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I like that a lot.
A24, man. Weird movies and corresponding fun gifts.
They're also really big on child murder in their movies.
Who?
A24.
Oh.
Yes, they are.
Well, yeah, because, you know, the whole movie we're about to talk about starts with child murder.
It does. Before we get to that, I just wanted to tell them about the hotel stay and the interesting thing in the minibar.
What happened with this minibar?
Well, we went to this nice swanky hotel in Wilmington for our anniversary.
What is it called?
The Coin. I'm just going to say the Coin.
The Quan.
Q-U-O-I-N.
Yes, whatever that is. Every room is like, it felt like a little apartment in Paris. Like, that's what it felt like where you were staying. It must have been like an old apartment building. That's what it felt like.
Yeah, it definitely felt like that.
The mini bar was like, I've never been to a hotel that had like a nice mini bar like that. Like, it was just very, like, you know, Johnny Walker and, like, really fancy tequila and, like, just in the... Yeah, it was very, very nice. And then I was looking at the menu at the prices, and it said, like, the snacks. I'm like, where are the snacks? I don't see the snacks. And so I opened up the first drawer of, like, the desk, and all the snacks were in, like, little individual cubicles. And then there was an intimacy kit as well, which was a condom, a thing of lube, and a vibrator.
Did you have to pay for that?
You did, yes.
Do you think the vibrator is used and then placed back where you got
it? No.
It's impossible.
Maybe there's like a service that comes and sterilizes them and then...
No.
These are not repurposed?
No, I don't think so.
So these are low miles on these.
I would say it was probably like a little...
It's a bullet.
It was like a finger. Like a bullet. You put it on your finger.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But it's not like disposable.
I didn't want to open it.
So. Like it has a single charge, one get off.
I mean, it's not going to be away. Like your quality.
No. I picked up the box. It was very light. So
It's probably just a little like inch big thing.
Yeah.
It'd be funny if they gave it to you and you're like, all right, that has like I'm a watch enough to buy this, probably, yes, but there aren't any fucking batteries in the box.
It probably like has like a watch battery in it. So it's literally like a one-time use thing.
See? That's what I thought.
Yeah. Hmm. But the hotel was very nice.
Yes, it was a very nice hotel.
It was fancy.
And it's on mm-hmm. Market?
It's on Market Street. Yeah. Like it's
literally like right across from Bardea and like one block down.
Okay. And like by the Queen, like the music venue.
Oh, yes, yeah. Okay. Yes. So, it's really cute, and they had this rooftop deck, so we went up there before we went to dinner. It was so nice out yesterday. So we sat up there for like an hour, and it like just had some cocktails, and it was mm-hmm. just lovely. You got a little
bar up there?
Bar, like full, it's the penthouse, but it's just a full bar and outside space.
Sounds really nice.
It was really nice. It was one of like the nicest hotels I've ever stayed in.
They got busy. Really? They got busy up there, yeah. too. There it was a like, shit ton of people
because it's
up
boutique.
There.
There's only 22 rooms, so it's like small, and like they really like take care of you, you know?
Mm-hmm. That kind of sounds like the place that we stayed at in Bath.
Yeah. Mm.
It was so cute.
Yeah. Just like a small, cute little hotel. And then we went to dinner. So it was delicious.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. is he, do you feel like it's a Michelin nominated restaurant?
I wouldn't know, to be honest with you, because I don't think I've ever like been to like, I've never been to a restaurant that has a Michelin star. So I don't think I know what a Michelin star restaurant is. I'm sure yeah. I've been to restaurants that have been, has it been nominated for a Michelin star?
So he's been nominated.
He has. Okay.
He was a nominee or something.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, probably, I feel like maybe that one place we went to down in Charleston may have been like, not a Michelin star, but he's definitely been nominated for a Michelin.
Oh, Husk?
Yeah.
Yeah, that place sucked.
It wasn't that great, yeah.
One of the girls that I hired this past go round, she actually worked at a Top Chef restaurant in New York.
Really?
Yes. And he's a Michelin star. He's he does like Caribbean fusion.
Oh,
I'll have to find his name.
I wonder who it was. I've seen every episode of Top Chef. I know. So I love it so much. They're in Canada this year. I don't have a segue now.
Well, speaking of Canada, which is the complete opposite of where we're going Canada, in this movie.
Yeah. We like Canada, just saying.
Yes, we do.
There's no trees in this movie.
There are.
Let me tell you.
No trees.
I don't have a thing for sand. It's coarse and irritating.
I'm trying to think of something. Okay, I'm thinking.
Think of a segue, babe.
Oh, man.
Personal vibrators. They were vibrating when they went through the gate. Vibrators.
Canada has a province that's technically, they call it French Canadian. French Stewart. This movie.
Yes.
Has French Stewart.
There we go. Speaking of French Stewart.
Yeah.
Boom. There you go.
I had a good one with child murder.
I know, but you got to it too fast.
You could have just talked about the dinner in the next episode.
I'm sorry. I forgot. Well, my pick for 90s sci-fi month was released in 1994. It was directed by Roland Emmerich. It stars Kurt Russell and James Spader. It is Stargate.
It has been buried for thousands of years. A mystery. A secret. A threshold to the future.
Where'd you find this? I've never seen anything like this.
One man will break the code and open the door.
Well, this should read Stargate.
It was in front of us the whole time.
The other will lead the way.
Why are you here?
I'm here in case you succeed.
Jackson's identified the seventh symbol.
Backup storage, reserve power, on.
What is that?
It's your Stargate.
Badass.
I know.
It's so fucking cool.
We'll go around the room and ask if you'd seen it before. Won't ask if you were excited to watch it, especially won't ask Tammy.
Oh, no, please.
Okay, it's fine. Tammy?
Yes, I've seen it.
Oh, good. Matt?
Ditto.
Guido.
I love this movie. I saw it a lot, and I even had it on Genesis. And I don't know if you know this.
Blu-ray and gave it to them.
That I had the game, more importantly, on Genesis. And it had a glitch in it, so nobody can beat it.
Oh.
But, you know, that's not.
The Blu-ray was the extended version.
Yes.
And we only about halfway through, because I was like, wait, where are the subtitles when they're speaking in their language? Because mm-hmm. I don't know what they're saying. And I remember there being subtitles because I know what they're talking about because I've seen the movie so many times. And then you had to turn on the subtitles.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like for the whole movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like, yeah, they're speaking in English and you had to have the subtitles there. But then when they're doing like their weird
What's it sound like, Matt?
It was like,
so sounds a little huts. Native American,
so
but all right.
So they're huts?
No.
Huts? Top of the hut?
Huts are like, oh, da, 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 wookie. Oh, oh, oh. More than the mighty Chewbacca.
Oh, my gosh. Well, so Roland Emmerich did direct other 90s blockbusters that would have been softballs. He did Independence Day. That came out 2 years after this. He also did The Day After Tomorrow, which is the 90s. And he also did my new favorite movie, which I watched the other day, White House Down. Fabulous. So good.
That, those are...
The action.
Those are words.
The action was great.
It has much action.
I will remind everyone
very
again
wow.
that when my father told me about the movie, he felt the need to say how ugly the child was in it.
You said he said unfortunate.
He said unfortunate. Looking. He's like, that, I don't know who that girl is who plays his daughter, but she's really unfortunate looking. I'm like, Dad, she's 12 years old.
Would
like,
you rather he alone. Said that she was homely?
I don't know. Yeah. I just rather he wouldn't have said anything, to be honest.
Oh, you'd rather him not comment.
Because it's Joey King and she's so pretty. And I would rather we don't say things about a 12 year old.
Maggie Gyllenhaal was literally right there.
Yes.
He could have made fun of that dog face.
Oh my God. Her, and she is, the acting is so bad. And from her in that movie is so bad.
She looks like she did a boxing movie, you know what I mean?
Oh my gosh.
She did a few.
She has a big
movies.
Forehead. I think that's part of it.
Oh, Tammy's coming in with it.
Richard Jenkins is in it.
Yeah,
I love
he is.
Richard Jenkins.
Yeah, there's quite a few bad guys in it, so.
Oh, is he a bad guy?
He ends up being...
Oh, James Woods is in it.
So you know he's a definite bad guy.
There's like three, like...
For sure.
There's a few, like, ooh, ooh, ooh. So obviously...
Or, you know, you could just be like, oh, he's a bad guy. And then... You have Allison yell at me for the next hour and a half because I figured it out.
You were ruining it? Yeah, you were ruining
the movie.
How did
I ruin it by figuring it out?
Because you had to be, like, verbal about it.
Oh, God.
What a twist.
Yeah.
Listen, this movie fucks. Never mind what he says.
I know.
Okay, I'm going to put this on my watch list.
Okay.
This looks good.
It wasn't, honestly, it really wasn't that bad. I've watched that other one, the other White House
movie. Well, yeah, because that one takes itself seriously.
Yes, this one does not take itself seriously, so it was good. So, Kurt Russell, The Thing, Big Trouble in Little China. Breakdown. We love Kurt. James Spader, basically the asshole in every 80s movies, but
Robert
very
California from
the Blacklist.
The Blacklist, but very specifically Pretty Ultron. In Pink. Pretty in Pink, he plays Steph.
Is that also an appliance?
No, that's Blaine. And then he's also in Less Than Zero. He's a drug dealer. He makes Robert Downey Jr. suck his dick. It's a great movie. So this movie had
you're forgetting someone.
And Richard Kind.
Put some respect on Richard Kind's
okay,
name.
I'm sorry. So this movie had a budget of $55 million, and it did make $196.6 million. So it did make a lot of money, but it also sits at a 54% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Wah, wah.
Wah, wah.
And
it's not fair.
The film is on Roger Ebert's most hated list, saying that the movie Ed Wood, about the worst director of all time, was made to prepare us for Stargate. Producer Dean Devlin later said he was not a big fan of mine, as Ebert was also scathing of Independence Day, Godzilla, and The Patriot.
That critic sucks.
Roger Ebert?
Yeah. he doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about.
One of the most historically renowned movie critics of all time.
Yeah. Sucked. Incredibly unlikable person.
Yeah.
So.
So we'll just get into it. There's so much to cover. There's a lot.
It's all awesome.
There's a lot of sand. I know Tammy loves sand.
It's irritating.
It's coarse, it's rough, and it gets everywhere.
It does. I mean, it does get everywhere. So we start with an alien spacecraft landed in a North African village in 8000 BC. We get history. As most people ran away from the spacecraft, one man stood up and walked towards it, and that man was taken by the spaceship.
It is a dude. Right?
Yeah. It's Jay Davidson.
Yeah, it's the crying game.
Dude. Yeah. And dude. Then we jump to 1928. Professor Langford discovers a massive stone ring in the sands of Giza, Egypt. When the ring is lifted, it reveals inscribed cover stones underneath them, presumably with instructions on how to turn it on. You need instructions.
Well, yeah, it's not just a switch.
No, it's not just a one-time use with a watch battery.
I also made the joke while we were watching it. Do you think that little girl is Karen Allen and Indiana Jones and Indy's just off somewhere waiting to like have a relationship with her because she's so young?
Can you... All right. We're not ruining my heroes. Okay, we're going to move on.
Then we cut to the present day. Langford's daughter, Catherine. This woman's name is crazy. Vivica Lindfors. Offers
that is a name.
It is. Offers Egyptologist, and he's also a linguist. Daniel Jackson, played by James Spader. He's a down-on-his-luck linguistics professor. She offers him the chance to translate the ancient Egyptian hieroglyphs that may prove his controversial theory regarding the idea that the pyramids were not created by the ancient Egyptians, basically.
Yes. It's funny because he doesn't know who made them.
No, he has no, he has, no.
He knows the Egyptian didn't do it.
He's basically the History Channel at 4 o'clock in the morning. He's just that guy where he's just...
The crazy hair.
Aliens.
The Scientology guy. Yeah.
And he doesn't have any money, and he's down on his luck, and he's kind of like a pariah in his, like, world, because if you say you don't believe that the ancient Egyptians built the pyramids and who built them, you're just going to have to say aliens, and then people just think you're nuts. So, you know.
I mean, this is typical treatment for any scientist.
Yeah, it was really interesting to just see. I mean, and I know I'm stealing this from Allie, but it was just really interesting to see James Spader play Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah, I said that when we were watching. I was like, this is basically, I mean, Roland Emmerich did Independence Day. This is Independence Day, just 2 years before. Jeff Goldblum and James Spader are the exact same character. It ends the exact same way.
Jeff Goldblum would have been great.
Yeah. Would've
been great.
But they were probably
slid right in.
Filming Independence Day. No, but it's just very similar. And it's the same director, it's the same producer, so it doesn't it's not that difficult.
It feels the same.
So Jackson accepts and he travels.
It's completely different.
It's not.
In every way.
It really isn't. It's exactly the same.
The picture and location and actors, they're all completely different.
Those things are true. Yes.
The storyline is different.
The quality.
The other one
too.
Has a Vivica Fox in it.
That's true. It does have
she's
a stripper.
Single mom that works
and she's
real
fine.
Hard.
She's a single mom. Was she Reba? She's a single mom.
She sure is.
Mm-hmm.
Will Smith is in it.
That used she's to carry
not,
weight.
She's not married to him at all? Or
no, they're not married. They get engaged, though.
With that... ugly dolphin diamond ring.
And then, no judgment.
So,
I can judge.
But no, remember,
is
they
she
get
a single
married?
Mom or not? God
she
damn
is
it!
A single mom. It's not his baby.
Yeah, he's not the stepdad. He's the dad who steps up.
That's right.
Yeah, but he lives there.
Yeah.
Yeah, he lives there sometimes because he's in the military.
You know, people live together when they're not married. Right?
I don't think she's so single. Just saying.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess then again, because his income is used to help provide for that child.
She's
so.
A single mom in the idea that the father of the child is not involved in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's keep talking about that movie.
No.
Damn
sorry.
It. Nice try.
I had to pick a bad one, so. So they go to the U.S. Air Force installation inside Creek Mountain, Colorado, and they meet Dr. Barbara Shore. The smoking in this underground bunker with no windows drives me nuts in this movie. Everyone's smoking and I'm just like, ugh.
Oh, but it doesn't in the next movie?
In space? Oh, yeah. Totes.
Well, that's because the thing was invented.
Oh my God.
They invented that thing.
It's the fucking 90s, guys. Come on, keep up here.
And Dr. Gary Myers, played by Matt's, like,
dude,
I don't know,
what
Hall
you,
gay Hall Pass,
what
Richard
do you
Kind.
Want? Richard Kind is awesome.
Okay.
He's like the best part of this movie.
You know, he's like best friends with George Clooney.
You want to,
and Bonnie Hunt.
Yeah,
really, really good friends.
I looked into that. Why they were best friends? It's because originally when they were
of his animal magnetism. Apparently.
Well, no, because originally Kavorka? when they were shopping the idea of rebooting Ocean's 11, they went to Richard Kind first. Actually, well, I mean,
they wanted him to be Danny Ocean.
No, they already had George in mind to play Danny Ocean, but they wanted Richard Kind to play Rusty. But then he was like, he couldn't.
Brad Pitt part?
He was too busy with this fucking stupid Egypt portal movie. He couldn't commit to it. So maybe they should just give it to Brad Pitt.
Okay.
And then they kept trying to give him other parts, and he was too busy doing other stuff. So
yeah, TV.
Yeah, he couldn't do he turned down Bernie Mac's part. He turned down Matt Damon's part.
Wow, so in demand, Richard
He
Kind.
Turned down the little Asian guy's part.
Did he? He was going to fit. He was going to be the little acrobat?
Yeah, he was.
Okay.
He did a whole routine.
You fit inside of the security box.
So Major General West, played by Leon Rippey, who is that guy from The Patriot. Same people. That's why he likes to reuse his folks. He's the commanding officer of the facility, and he reactivates Colonel Jack O'Neill to take command of the project, played by none other than...
The greatest
Richard
actor
Kind.
Ever?
Yeah, the greatest actor ever. He has longer hair when they go to get him because he's mourning the loss of his son who shot himself...
Tragically.
Tragically shot himself.
Because Kurt Russell kept...
not like he was sticking up at 7-Eleven.
Because Kurt Russell kept putting a gun under his pillow.
Yeah, but then when we...
We see him put a gun under the pillow in the kid's room.
Yeah, all right, well, how else are you supposed to shoot the fucking monster in the closet?
I mean, also, to be fair, I'd shoot myself if I were on the Mets, too.
Well,
okay.
Yeah, but your dad's Kurt Russell. That would save you right there.
And...
didn't save this kid.
All right. So, he has longer hair when they come to get him, and then we see him, and he's in full uniform, and he has quite a lovely...
high and tight?
High and tight. Probably around the time he was doing Soldier, right?
Well, no, Soldier comes after.
Oh, okay. Could have done that, apparently, too.
You should have done that.
No.
He says, like, a dozen words.
Yeah.
I've never seen it.
It's awesome.
His hair looks so thick.
How is he able to fit a beret on that?
He does have a thick head of hair.
It looked like what's his name from Street Fighter, like the video game, how thick and like...
Yeah.
It was impressive.
Yeah.
So Jackson translates the hieroglyphs on the stones. Basically, there's like the stones. He hasn't seen the device yet. He's only been given access to the stones. And he deciphered them in 14 days when it took everyone else 2 years.
Yeah, he's
so
like...
he did it in 14 days.
Well, because these are not hieroglyphics. Mm-hmm. These are constellations. These are coordinates in space, you dummies.
So he deduces that the symbols are star constellations that are coordinates for location within space. Wow. Jackson says there's 7 star constellations on the cover stone. 6 points are needed, and then the 7th is the destination. So you have 6 and then the destination.
Well, point of origin.
The point of origin. See, I like learning all this stuff. I like it. That's why I like this movie so much. I like the science. I like the history.
Yes.
It's not real.
What history?
Egypt is real.
Egypt is real. And hieroglyphs are real. And the pyramids
Shawshank
are real.
Shawshank Redemption ain't real, god damn it.
Okay, that cannot be the argument every time you...
But it ain't.
Well, yeah, of course it's not real.
I understand some things aren't real, but some things are real. Some things are real.
Richard Kind is real. Real awesome.
Richard Kind is real. So then, because he figured out, you know, the rocks, they let him look at the O-ring, the Stargate.
The Stargate.
It's made of a mineral not found anywhere on Earth, so obviously alien. I mean, amazing.
Or it could have just been an asteroid.
Space, but whole.
So then they turn it on, and they have to put in all of the cipher. What is he?
Cartouche.
The cartouche.
Chevrons. That's what they say. Chevron 1 is holding. Chevron 1 is locked in place. And then they figure out the 7th, which, again, it's taken them 2 years to do, apparently.
Well, they just needed that one guy.
And it turns it on. They needed James Spader. I know.
It's like it's a movie or something.
I know. And they turned it on, and it looks like water.
Looks like a hot tub.
Turned on its side. And they immediately send, like, a...
they send Johnny Five in.
Very large moon rover in. And they track it, and it's on the other side of the known universe.
Dun, dun, right? Dun.
And the probe reveals that there's a corresponding gate on the other side. So it's basically like a telephone.
Yeah, it's like a rotary phone. They just had to sit there and go...
Yep. There was a rotary phone in the hotel room where we stayed at. Or there was an actual phone.
with a wire?
To call down to the front desk.
Oh, yeah. My God.
And they also said that the composition of the planet that it landed on is exactly the same as Earth. So it can support human life.
Woo! Wow. See, even space shows have rules.
The rules.
Yeah.
It follows its own rules. It makes up the rules, and then it abides by them.
And what is
That's
the
why
hurdle
it makes
here?
Sense. That the humans can travel into this other
She's setting this
side
up for
the
next
unknown.
Episode. Okay. She's setting it up for the next episode.
All right, Tammy has arrived.
Uh-huh. The expedition or whatever is for naught if they can't turn it on and come back home. Like, it's fine to get there, but they got to turn it on the other side and come back home.
Yeah, they got to find the area code and the
number. Yeah.
We got to dial one first. That's
and Jackson
fucking...
says he can do it. He was able to translate the code in 2 weeks and blah, blah, blah.
He did say he could do it.
I'm so cocksure. I can just do it. Yeah, no problem.
Was it headstrong?
Cocksure?
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, it is James Spader.
Yeah, true. So O'Neill leads a team through the Stargate, and we get a fun little, like, woo through space.
Can you do that again?
Woo through space.
What are they called?
One more time.
spider holes or whatever.
Wormholes.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, no, I like spider holes.
Spider holes. It reminded. Remember, like when you used to go to the movie theater and it was like that.
Yeah, the, yes. roller, coaster.
The roller coaster. It reminded me of that.
I'm pretty sure it was legit. The
we've
stuff
we've just that, dated ourselves.
The shit. Yeah. The shit that they used in the show Sliders when they would go through portals and dimensions.
None of us have seen that show.
Oh,
so.
Well, you're missing out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So no, like interdimensional.
Why does it have Richard
bullshit.
Kind on it too?
No, but it. It has.
He is great.
It has. What's his
it has
name?
Has Salah on yeah. it, didn't it? Yeah.
Salah.
So the members of O'Neill's team include Louis Ferretti, French Stewart. This is his first movie.
Oh, so it wasn't Fred Ferretti like you thought it was when we were watching.
They said Freddy.
No, they said Ferretti.
Oh, I thought they said Freddy, and then they said his last name, and I'm like, this guy's name is Freddy Ferretti? What a terrible name. It's Louis, apparently.
Looks like the guy from Max Payne.
It's the guy from Third Rock from the Sun.
Right.
Yeah. And there's a bunch of other people. Okay, they bring a large amount of equipment. They leave it in the pyramid. And they go out and they see... It looks, you know, it's like a desert. And three moons orbiting the planet. So...
Whoa. Comb the desert!
So that means it's not Earth.
It's definitely not Earth.
But it's like Earth.
It's not Earth.
Made of the same qualities. Yeah.
It's got sand.
It's coarse and it
we
gets
also
everywhere.
Have sand here, Tim.
We do.
Mm-hmm.
They're similar. Mm-hmm.
But not in Canada.
Different, but same.
Probably, I mean, yeah, probably not. Jackson reveals that he can't dial home because the Stargate coordinates to go back to Earth are missing because he needed the cartouche or whatever.
The cartouche.
And he doesn't have that here, so they have to look.
So far,
everyone's
mad.
He's
just got 555, 55, and yeah. The last two he's looking for.
He says the Stargate on Earth had the cover stone, and there has to be a similar cover stone here. We just have to look for it.
Yeah, has to be.
Everyone's pissed.
Yeah, French Stewart, big mad.
French Stewart is a whiny, whiny bitch in
it's
this
funny
movie.
Funny because he's not big.
Then we also cut to a bomb that Colonel O'Neill has been fudging around with. He's trying to hide it from everyone. And
secret nuke.
Then
hopefully there's no sniz involved.
Sniz? What's that?
You've never heard of a snook and a sniz?
No.
See, that's where you put a snook. Yeah, right up the sniz.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Okay. Daniel gets pulled behind a large yak-like creature after giving him a Fifth Avenue bar.
Yeah, it was a Sketsy.
It looked like a Sketsy.
He keeps feeding the local wildlife.
But it also, no, but it's domesticated. It has like a harness. So someone, the planet is inhabited, we'll say.
That's how they discovered it.
Yes. So some team members stay at the pyramid while Jackson O'Neill and some others go and discover a mining village inhabited by humans who assume that these new visitors have been sent by the sun god Ra. Okay, so we're seeing, even though this planet is on the other side of the universe, that they know who Ra is, and it's obviously influenced by Egyptian culture.
Yes.
Or this...
Hence some pyramid stuff.
Yeah, somebody created the Egyptian culture that's also over here, too.
Correct.
Yeah, but somehow it's better than our version. Yeah.
They're still slaves, and they can't read or write.
Yeah, it's pretty awful.
Is it better?
I mean... I'm not the HR person for that.
The HR person? So we meet Kasuf, played by Eric Avari, who is from The Mummy.
Yeah, he runs the library.
He's like runs the library
and
The
him.
Mummy. Yeah.
He's in Mr. Deeds also.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Bunny Way.
And the mineral that the villagers are mining is the same as that of the Stargate.
Did you find out if this movie was... funded by Hershey's at one point.
Oh, because of the Fifth Avenue bars?
Everybody, he's just giving Fifth Avenue bars to everybody. He's
it's a good way to make people like you.
I don't know if I've ever had a Fifth Avenue bar. What's in it?
It's basic,
chocolate.
It's Hershey's equivalent of Butterfinger. Where it's
I don't like Butterfingers.
Well, I think you might like, because I actually like Fifth Avenue bar better than Butterfinger.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I don't
peanut
like
butter's
that.
Gross.
Well, I just don't like that, like a hard peanut butter. That's why I don't really like coffee
allergic.
And stuff like that either.
Yes.
You are
yes.
deathly allergic to peanut butter.
No, I not. Certainly am.
Yeah, he found out that one time when he rubbed it on himself and tried to have the dog lick it off.
What?
He almost died.
He had an allergic reaction.
Which dog?
There was a laceration to my testicles.
Oh, gosh.
God.
So Jackson realizes that the people speak a dialect of ancient Egyptian and begins, he picks up the language so fast.
It's crazy.
I wish linguistics is like, when I was in college and an English major, linguistics was like, it was the hardest class to pass. It's so hard. So I took it at night school. And then you only have to take like 6 weeks instead of a full semester. And I passed it. But it's like, ugh, it's the worst class to take. But they are able to like pick up languages so fast. People who are like major in linguistics.
I'll tell you, this Spader guy is so good at being a smart guy.
Very, very smart.
Yeah, he's been a smart guy his whole career.
He's been a bad guy in most recent years.
What?
In the 80s, he was an asshole.
Yeah, he might, he may or not have
cocaine been, will do that.
He may or may not have been a smart bad guy, but he was definitely a bad guy in the 80s.
He's the worst in Pretty in Pink. He's so horrible.
Have you seen The Blacklist? Yeah,
he is. I still love
him, because
he's
the smartest man that's ever
I've
been a smart man.
I've never watched The Blacklist. Plus, he was in The Office for a while. Wasn't he on Boston Legal, too? Like, he's had a very steady career.
Boston Legal was good.
So you know how Jack Reacher, he solves everything by simply being larger than everyone else? Well,
that man is the largest human being I've ever seen.
In Blacklist, Spader is just simply smarter than everyone else.
Is he a bad guy in it?
Kind of like the house.
But is he bad?
No, I mean...
Isn't he like a killer in it?
No.
No, he's, I mean, like
he does some wet work, you know?
Look, if you want to talk about it, I'll go get Taylor on the phone.
Taylor!
And you can talk to him about The Blacklist. No, thank you.
Okay.
Taylor knows what's up.
We never finished it, though.
Mm. The team develops friendships with the people who live in the village. So there's a kind of a young boy, his name's Scara. And then Jackson tries to get it on with Shaori. Well, I'll just say that. She's the daughter of the leader, and her dad tries to pimp her out too.
Yeah,
but that's James just Spader. How that culture is.
How
it's not
old
gross.
Is this girl?
I don't know.
Fucking weird.
Fucking weird.
She would get in trouble if, you know, she didn't commence a bang sesh with the strangers from another planet.
Oh yeah, well they did think he was a being from God because, you know, he had the raw animal.
She's just trying to suck God's D. Like, what's the big deal here?
So she bonds with Jackson.
He did not give her a Fifth Avenue.
No, he didn't. And then she takes him because they've learned that, like, they don't know how to read or write and it's kind of like forbidden, but she takes him to these hidden hieroglyphs. And that's kind of how we learn about Ra. Okay, so Ra was actually an alien life form who enslaved humans with his advanced technology. So he was dying. His whole race had died off. He was the last of his race. He found this planet and was able to basically, like, inhabit the body of a human. Because they are humans. Like, these aren't, even though they live on a different planet than Earth, they are humans.
Yeah, because this guy created the Stargate to take them to this planet.
Right.
To be slaves to mine more minerals.
Yes. The humans eventually rebelled and they buried the Stargate. Some had been taken to the other planet through the Stargate and used the mine to mine, like, the mineral. So, because that's also what keeps him, like, young and alive, basically. Like, eternal life is basically what he wants.
Do you think he likes his steak cooked or
I don't know if he's
raw.
Eating much. Oh, way to go.
I'm so sorry.
And then, of course, because this is a movie and they're talking about this guy, who shows up?
Ra.
Yeah.
But they also find the symbols that they need to turn back on the phone, you know? But the seventh symbol.
The seventh seal, yeah.
The seventh symbol has been eroded.
The point of origin.
Yeah.
You got to put that in there.
And they really need that seventh symbol.
Yeah, that's like the one before the 302.
Yeah.
You'd think that would be involved in Earthside.
I also don't know, maybe I just don't understand, like, the science of it all, but, like, I don't know why they can't just turn it on from the other side.
Right?
They could. They make up the rules.
Okay.
It's their movie.
Well, at least they made them up and they follow them, right?
No,
I don't
rapid
know.
Decompression.
Well, they don't
in this
turn
movie.
It on from the other side, though. So.
Yeah, at least they follow their own rules.
Well, they have no way of communicating with the other
That's
side
true.
To turn
like,
it on.
Like, how would they know? Because
they're a fucking universe away.
That is true.
Dude, the radios aren't working for some reason.
So O'Neill orders the team to return to the pyramid because they've been stuck in the little mining village because of a sandstorm. Okay?
By Jay Rude?
Huh?
Sandstorm?
Nice.
Sandstorm.
A huge spacecraft, I can't talk, lands on top of the pyramid. All team members in the pyramid are either killed or taken into the, wow, this word. I know it's pyramid. Pyramidal craft.
Not.
Pyramidal.
It's like a little reservoir tip for the pyramid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What'd you say?
I was like, it's amazing how this movie is just equated that the Great Pyramids were just three parking spaces.
They were parking spaces for alien spacecraft.
To land on top of it.
O'Neill and Jackson are escorted to the throne room where they meet Ra, who is played by Jay Davidson, who was really only in this and The Crying Game, and that was it, and then left Hollywood because he hated all the attention, and he got nominated for an Oscar for The Crying Game. And
dude looks like a lady.
Well, that's kind of the point of The Crying Game, too.
I think, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you see his wiener in it, so.
You gotta hang down.
Yeah, but.
Never saw it.
It's there.
It's there. The movie's like, I don't know. It's weird. It's a weird movie. I don't know.
It's anti-trans.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, like,
yeah.
It's a hard watch.
Because that whole scene in fucking like Ace Ventura when he finds out that Einhorn was a man.
Oh, and then he
that's
eats
like the crying
and
game,
then he
basically.
Eats the gum and he starts scraping.
Yeah. He takes like a Silkwood shower. Yeah, like, yeah, that's basically the crying game. Like, there's this whole scene where I can't think of the actor who's Stephen Wright or Ray or whatever. Once he finds out that like he's been having a relationship with a man, he like does this whole freak out like shower scene. And it's so stupid. It's like,
yeah, dumb. He lights a fire.
Yeah. Despite wearing fearsome armor, Ra's guards are basically human underneath. Like, they hit a little button and their helmets go away. One of them is Jaiman Ansu.
He's just a man.
Just a man. And also very creepy children that are his, like, servants.
Yeah, he's like a space pedo.
So kinda. Are they, wait, hold on. Are they like, kind of like vampires? You know what I mean? Like that little girl vampire movie we saw.
Nah, I just...
Where she's actually right 200 years old, or but...
Nah, I just think that he's, you know, he's a pedo. And he just has those kids as his little servants.
Oh. Mm.
Creepy human shit.
Well, they're creepy. Yeah. So...
King Tut.
He reveals that he found the bomb that, you know, Kurt Russell was trying to hide. Because Kurt was going to blow up the Stargate. They were going to send the troops back, and he was going to stay behind and blow it up. Because he wants to die anyway, you know. And Ra found it. And he said, I'm going to send it through the Stargate back to Earth, but with a lot of the mineral on it, and then it'll blow up your stupid planet. Ha-ha. It'd
be much bigger explosion because I've added my special rocks to
with
it.
His quartzite or whatever.
He's
going to
get his rocks off.
Someone's going to get it off.
Hopefully. Hopefully.
Well, hopefully not. So many kids around.
Kurt attempts to disarm the guards and kill Ra, but the children stand in front of him, and then he feels bad. He doesn't want to kill children, you know, because his child died. And Jackson is killed during the altercation. So James Spader gets shot
tragically. That get shot in
dick
this
weapons.
In this scenario, French Stewart wasn't one of them.
Yeah, you were super annoyed by French Stewart.
He was annoying.
Yes.
Well, they got those boom boom spears from space.
Yes. So Kurt's thrown into the dungeon with the other team members. Unfortunately, French Stewart is still alive.
Damn it.
And Jackson is regenerated in a sarcophagus-like regeneration device.
Kind of so like that Elysium dead. Movie.
Oh, that Elysium movie, yeah.
It had Matt Damon.
It did have Matt Damon in it. And the guy from Letterkenny. He's like a small role in it.
And Charlton Copley.
Well, he's in all of his movies, I think.
That is true.
The South African?
So Ross says he'll kill Jackson and everyone who has seen him unless Jackson kills the rest of the team to show the villagers that Ra is their one true god. Because they still think he's a...
righteous dude.
Yeah. He's well, they're just terrified of him.
He's a righteous dude.
So once Ra has the local people gathered before the pyramid, several young villagers signal to Jackson that they have recovered the team's weapons. Jackson then shoots at Ra while the kids create a distraction. Just chaos everywhere.
What? U.S. military funded insurgents trying to...
Yeah.
This plays right out of everything we've done in the Middle East.
Exactly.
I mean, there's precedents.
O'Neill, Jackson, and the rest of the team flee and take the shelter with, like, the villagers.
The Mujahideen.
Yes.
Well, he was instantly cloaked by their, you know, and then... Which is really ballsy because he just looks like a villager who they're shooting indiscriminately at.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
The next morning, one of the boys draws a picture of the people's victory against Ra. Jackson realizes that part of this drawing depicts the seventh symbol needed to go home.
Which is very simple. It's just the same thing. But
it's three
with,
moons over a pyramid.
But with three moons instead of the one, which is Earth.
Okay.
I was just like, hey, couldn't they just figure that out?
O'Neill convinces the locals that their gods are mere mortals, and they show, because the leader of the village, the guy from the mummy, he still thinks, like, they're gods. And then when they, like, take out Jaiman Ansu, they take off his helmet, and he's just a man underneath all that crazy...
Rise up against your oppressors, they say.
If only John Rambo were here.
Nothing is over!
So O'Neill, Jackson, and the remaining members of the team make it back to the Stargate. One of the little villagers, the one who's, like, special needs, dies, unfortunately. He gets blown up.
Yeah, they made
We didn't get to see it, though.
Don't see it.
They made the sad Ewok.
No, they didn't. It wasn't like the Ewok. Stop it. I hate that part.
I heard a womp womp.
I hate it.
That bouncing helmet.
So bad. So they get back to the Stargate hoping to turn it back on. And at this point, Kurt Russell has turned on the bomb because he's like, I'm going to blow it up on the side. You'll
it's
go back.
It's been armed.
It's been armed. And then Shorty gets shot. And so James Spader takes her up to the sarcophagus healing machine.
Because he's got to save that space puss.
That's, yeah, he wants it, man.
That's how he gets snizz on the rag, dude.
Ew.
He wants that wang bang space poon tang.
And then they get back and they can't turn off the bomb. No idea why. So what do they do? What do they do? Because at this point, Ra is leaving. He's pissed.
Mm-hmm.
The villagers have up. There's an uprising. People are dead. He's really upset.
Dogs his eyes and cats are all living together.
His eyes are all glowy glow. And so what they do is, because Kurt Russell has killed or is battling one of the he's killed one of the guards and just sent his head up in the rings that transport them.
Oh yeah, the transporting the mini teleporter.
Yes. So they take the bomb and they put it in the transporting rings and they shoot it up into the pyramid and then the pyramid explodes.
That's a clutch move.
Yeah. I mean, just like what they do in Independence Day, only 2 years later.
And you know, like, that pyramid is definitely made out of, you know, the fun mineral, the splody material.
Yeah, so it's huge.
So extra splody in space.
Yeah.
And then Kurt Russell holds the little insurgent boy, and he's like, didn't I promise you fireworks?
Yeah, see? Exactly like Independence Day. The team returns to Earth through the Stargate, but Jackson decides to stay. Space puss. He wants to stay back on this planet that we never learned the name of and hang out. But I guess now that they know how to turn on and off the Stargate, they can just go back and forth. Although they said that they're going to destroy it on the Earth side, but obviously there is a television show, so I don't think they did. I've never watched the show. That. We'll have to ask John. John and Heather watch the show. Or my mom. She watched the show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't think they destroyed that.
No, I don't think
Stargate.
So. And somehow Kurt Russell got downgraded to Richard Dean Anderson.
Yes, MacGyver plays Kurt Russell in the show. I don't say it's a downgrade.
No,
I mean, MacGyver's great,
but he is not Kurt Russell.
By default, anything is a downgrade.
Right.
It's not a lateral move like going from Nick Cage to John Travolta.
Because I love MacGyver.
It's a downgrade.
Well, some fun facts. When Kurt Russell was sent the script, he thought it was terrible and turned the film down. Apparently the original script, and don't laugh, the original script was really bad. And then they improved upon it.
Oh, they did?
Yes, they did.
They punched up this, okay.
Yes, they shined this turd.
It was so shiny.
Yeah. The producer.
It was shined with the rare mineral from this planet.
Exploding material.
The producers made increasingly generous salary offers until he finally accepted a $7 million paycheck.
Holy
which
shit.
In 93 was great.
Oh, they really wanted him to do it.
That buys a lot of facelifts for Goldie.
Oh. The producer, Devlin, later learned that Russell had somehow been sent the first draft of the script, which Devlin himself admitted was terrible, rather than the final draft. And when Russell read the shooting script, he said, oh, this isn't so bad. It's what you want from your lead actor.
I mean, he's like, I did escape from LA. I mean, this isn't that bad.
Yeah, I mean, he's done some. Come on.
Do you want to guess who was originally offered the role of the James Spader character?
Nicolas Cage.
No. She can see, so she's not guessing.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
No.
No.
Think
smaller.
Think along the nerd line.
Kevin Spacey.
Smaller.
Danny DeVito.
No.
Larger. Maybe a little bit.
Alan Rickman.
80s movies.
One of your faves.
Alec Baldwin?
No.
Rick Moranis.
Rick.
Oh.
Oh, man.
Rick Moranis was offered to play the role of Dr. Daniel Jackson, but turned it down to work on the Flintstones.
Well, in the hindsight, that was a better choice.
And Little Giants, which I love Little Giants. Little Giants is great.
So he turned down this movie because he was doing other movies instead of his wife dying. That's nice.
Yes. And then I already said the thing about Roger Ebert hating this movie, saying it was on his most hated list.
Fuck that guy. Yeah, he doesn't know what he's talking about.
Well, he doesn't talk anymore because he's dead, so.
Great.
He didn't even talk at the final times, or, you know, before he died.
It cut out his mouth.
Oh, that's right, because he had, throat cancer or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was my pick, Around the Room, pass, fail. Tammy?
Nope.
Okay.
Rivening.
You're not hurting my
riveting
feelings.
Stuff.
You're not hurting my feelings.
Why don't you like it, Tammy?
I don't think it's a great movie.
Sure
I just love it.
Too.
Yeah, tell me about the sand. She fucking freaked out about the sand. She's like, what is it, Guido? What is it with you and sand? You know what's dry? This pussy is just fucking ridiculous with all the goddamn sand movies. This is word for word what she said.
No, I was singing about how it was like The Mummy meets... What did I say?
I don't know, because it wasn't worth remembering.
Oh,
yeah, exactly.
Goodness.
I was singing Arabian Night.
So it sounds like you really gave it a chance, Tammy.
The sand, when the people were climbing. How can you run in sand?
I said the same thing. I'm like, these people running. This is exhausting.
Yeah. I would be breathless by
now.
They're running up sand hills.
They're sand people.
I know, but still, it's so hard to run in sand. It's so hard to run in sand.
How do the Inuit people deal with the cold up there?
What kind of shoes does one wear?
Get it. How can they run around on the ice and snow?
It's not like they could make sneakers. They're wearing like
they're probably not. They're sandals. Sandals probably that they like something else bind to their feet. Probably.
Yeah, it sounds miserable. Yeah,
they bind their feet like miniature Chinese women.
Oh goodness.
I don't know what you want me to say.
Nothing. You said nothing you don't like anymore. It. It's totally fine.
The aqueous humor was consistent with other movies made in this decade.
Thank you.
Amazing.
The gate to the stars was not actually a gate to the stars. It was a gate to the sand.
I forgot to mention the best line after towards the end when Kurt is fist fighting, which these are some indie level style fist fights. He says,
Give my regards to King Tut. King asshole. Tut,
asshole. Yes.
He's such a badass.
I also kept yelling, Anaksunamun!
Anaksunamun!
The wrong movie. Simple woman.
I also compared it to The Mummy a few times.
Well, today. The guy's in it. And yes, I mean, because Egypt is a real place.
Oh my God.
And
is it?
Yes, it is.
Oh. And I was like,
it's literally over
Egyptian
there.
Egyptian history is in both of these movies.
And then so. I was like, these aliens aren't even fucking aliens. They're like robots.
They're not even. They're man.
Just the main guy is an alien. Yeah. Everyone else is a human.
There's only one alien. And then I was, keep up.
So I was telling how beautiful that man was.
Yeah, he was very pretty.
He was gorgeous.
I think it's why they had him for The Crying Game, because he does look very effeminate. Like, he has very feminine features. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. He was very pretty. He never acted again. He hated it. Yeah.
I'd hate it, too, if I was in Stargate.
He just didn't like all of the stuff, especially around The Crying Game and all of that. Like, it was just very negative. He was not treated well, so. Matt?
You know, I'm not going to lie.
Oh, talking about it? Richard Kind.
Love Potion number 9.
Shut the fuck up. Didn't even talk about it. She talked about it.
We were talking about it. It was...
No, you weren't talking about it.
Literally, because I was talking to my brother earlier. It's both had it on Letterboxd and like at a 2.5.
Okay.
That's average. It's passing. Barely. Is it good? No. Do I want to watch it? No. Because who has 3 fucking hours to spare to watch James Spader pretend he can read Egyptian? But...
Only read Egyptian a little bit.
But you know what? What? Fuck it. Pass.
Yay!
Disgusting.
It's fun.
I thought you were on my team.
Yeah, but then we sat and watched my movie, and I listened to you yell about it.
He's prepping for next week.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Guido?
Oh, yeah. Super pass. Love this movie. Love this movie. I've seen it so many times.
I know.
And I'll watch it a lot more. Bunny
Still
Way.
Still slaps. Yeah. Still slaps. When it finished, I was like, this movie's still good. Still good.
Slaps.
Kurt is peak Kurt it's great. In this movie. It's he's great. Looking
no,
good.
He's not peak Kurt.
No, he needs the feathered hair.
Oh, see, I like this. I like the high and tight.
Yeah, but after it's high and tight, it's covered by a fucking beret.
And I like a beret, okay?
Berets are badass.
I like the beret.
Is that why the French wear them?
And he's
also
sweaty. That's why the green berets do. Delicious.
I eat green berets for breakfast.
He makes smoking look cool. Like, he's just a cool dude.
He
cool.
advocates child
great labor. 90s sci-fi movie.
Yes. Yay!
He wears
75%.
He wears the right footwear.
He does wear the right footwear.
For mm-hmm. sneaking?
For the sand.
Oh.
All right. Well, next week is Matt's pick. Matt, quid pro quo.
Yes. Well, my movie came out in 1997.
You haven't memorized.
Yes. It was directed by Paul Anderson, written by Philip Eisner, and it's starring two sci-fi, 90s sci-fi juggernauts, both Lawrence Fishburne and Sam Neill, amongst others.
Morpheus.
My movie is Event Horizon.
Amazing. And where can people watch Event Horizon?
Unfortunately, it seems like this is just a trend with my movies. It's a rent or buy. I don't even think it's available on free stuff.
Okay. So. We are at Quad Pro Quo Pod across Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Letterboxd. You can suggest a theme month via social media or on our website. And please rate and review us wherever you listen to podcasts. And until next week, thank you for listening.
Bye.
Bye.